A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's asking about consumer tools for building a digital twin of a living space, like an apartment or a business premises. The use case is someone moving into a new rental where they can take all the photos and videos they want, plus a few measurements, but measuring every single dimension would be tedious. The cool question is whether there are tools that can take a video walkthrough, turn it into a constructed 3D model, and calibrate the whole thing using just a couple of validated reference dimensions. It's a practical question with a lot of moving parts underneath it.
It's a question that lands right in the sweet spot of where computer vision, consumer hardware, and sheer impatience with tape measures all collide, which I deeply respect, by the way. The tape measure is the handshake protocol of the physically uncertain, and nobody wants to spend a Saturday measuring baseboards.
The handshake protocol of the physically uncertain. That's one way to put it. Another way is that measuring every wall in a new apartment by hand is the architectural equivalent of counting rice.
That's exactly what makes this question worth digging into. Because the tools do exist, they've gotten remarkably good in the last 2 or 3 years, but the landscape is a mess of overlapping capabilities, hardware requirements that aren't obvious, and a calibration problem that most of the marketing conveniently glosses over.
Let's map the landscape. What are the actual categories of tools we're talking about here?
3 broad buckets. First, photogrammetry apps that work from ordinary photos or video, Polycam, KIRI engine, reality scan. Second, LiDAR native apps that require a phone or tablet with a LiDAR sensor, Scaniverse, Polycam's LiDAR mode, room plan on iOS. Third, dedicated hardware like the Leica BLK36E or Matterport Pro cameras, which are firmly in the professional category and priced accordingly. For the use case in the prompt, we can basically ignore bucket 3.
Because nobody's dropping several thousand dollars on a Leica scanner to figure out if their couch fits through the doorway.
Unless your couch is a Steinway Grand and your doorway is a cathedral nave, you're in bucket 1 or bucket 2. And the distinction between those two buckets is where most of the confusion lives.
Let's start with photogrammetry then. Someone walks through an apartment with their phone, shoots a video, uploads it. What actually happens on the other side?
Photogrammetry at its core is triangulation from overlap. The software looks at hundreds or thousands of frames from your video, identifies shared features across frames, corners, edges, texture patterns, and uses the parallax between different viewpoints to estimate where those features sit in 3D space. It's the same principle your eyes use for depth perception, just done computationally and with way more frames than 2.
It's stitching together a point cloud from parallax alone. No depth sensor required.
And the quality of the result depends on a few things. Frame overlap. You want about 60 to 70% overlap between consecutive frames, which a slow walkthrough video naturally provides. Lighting. Even, diffuse lighting is your friend. Harsh shadows create features that aren't actually geometry. And surface texture, photogrammetry struggles with blank white walls, mirrors, windows, anything glossy or featureless.
Which describes approximately 90% of rental apartments.
Yeah, that's the problem. Photogrammetry loves a cluttered, textured surface. It loves brick walls, wood grain, bookshelves. It hates the freshly painted white drywall of a new build. And that's where a lot of people try these apps, get a melted-looking blob where their living room should be, and conclude the technology isn't ready. It's ready for the right surface. Polycam's photo mode, which is pure photogrammetry, can produce genuinely impressive results if you feed it good data. I've seen models with sub-centimeter accuracy on textured surfaces. KIRI Engine, which came out of a Chinese startup and has been iterating aggressively, uses a similar approach but adds some machine learning tricks to guess at geometry on low texture surfaces. It's not magic, but it's better than guessing.
Sub-centimeter accuracy on textured surfaces is impressive, but I want to come back to the calibration question because that's the thing the prompt is really getting at. Even if the model looks good, how do you know the scale is right?
This is the part that's tricky and where most consumer tools fall short. Photogrammetry from video, or from photos without scale references, produces what's called an arbitrarily scaled model. The software knows the relative proportions of everything, but it has no idea whether your living room is 4 meters wide or 40.
Because, without a known distance, the math just produces a shape that's internally consistent but floating in scale space.
And this isn't a flaw in the software. It's a fundamental property of the geometry. When you reconstruct from images alone, there's an irreducible scale ambiguity. The same set of images could represent a dollhouse or a cathedral, and the math can't tell the difference.
The prompt's instinct is exactly right. You need reference dimensions.
You need reference dimensions. And here's where the apps diverge. Polycam does not currently offer a built-in way to set scale from a known measurement in its photogrammetry mode. You can export the model and scale it in external software like Blender, but that's not a consumer workflow. CareEye Engine does let you set a reference distance. You measure one thing in the real world, tell the app that distance, and it scales the entire model accordingly.
That's one measurement. The prompt mentions a couple of validated reference dimensions. Is one enough?
One gets you uniform scale. If your model is internally accurate, one reference dimension, say the width of a doorway you measured at 80 centimeters, will correctly scale the entire model. But if there's any warping or drift in the reconstruction, which is common in longer video walkthroughs, one reference point won't fix that. You'd want at least two, ideally at opposite ends of the space, to catch any non-uniform distortion.
Drift being the accumulation of small errors as the reconstruction chains together frame after frame.
If you walk through 5 rooms and the software makes a tiny angular error at each doorway, by the time you reach the 5th room, the model might be bent in ways that no single-scale reference can fix. Multiple reference measurements let you constrain the model at multiple points. Some professional photogrammetry packages do this with what's called bundle adjustment with control points. You're essentially telling the solver, "I know these distances are true, now make everything else consistent with them."
No consumer app does this elegantly yet.
Not that I've seen in a single package workflow. Some apps let you add manual scale bars after the fact, but it's not the seamless experience the prompt is asking for. Shoot a video, enter 2 measurements, get a dimensionally accurate model.
Photogrammetry gets us partway there. What about Bucket 2, the LiDAR native apps?
This is where things get interesting for the use case. Since the iPhone 12 Pro and the iPad Pro in 2020, Apple has been shipping LiDAR sensors on their Pro devices. And the key difference is that LiDAR gives you absolute depth directly. The sensor fires infrared laser pulses and measures time of flight, so it knows exactly how far away every point is.
No scale ambiguity.
No scale ambiguity. The model comes out life-size from the start. Scaniverse, which was acquired by Niantic in 2021 and has been developed aggressively since, produces models with real-world scale baked in. Polycam's LiDAR mode does the same. Apple's own RoomPlan API, which launched with iOS 16, uses the LiDAR sensor plus the camera to generate floor plans with measured dimensions automatically.
RoomPlan is the one that got the demo at WWDC, where someone walked around a room and it just generated a floor plan with dimensions?
That's the one. And it's impressive. RoomPlan recognizes walls, doors, windows, and furniture categories. It'll label a sofa as a sofa, a table as a table, and it outputs a parametric 3D model with real measurements. The catch is, it only works on rooms, not entire multi-room scans stitched together. It's designed for single-space capture, and it requires a LiDAR-equipped device.
Which narrows the field. If someone doesn't have a Pro iPhone or an iPad Pro, they're excluded from the LiDAR party.
And that's the hardware fork in the road for this entire question. If you have LiDAR, you have a fundamentally different, and in many ways better, set of options. If you don't, you're in photogrammetry land, with the scale ambiguity and the texture sensitivity.
Let's talk about Scaniverse specifically, since Niantic has been pouring resources into it. What's the actual workflow?
Scaniverse does something clever, which is that it uses both LiDAR depth data and photogrammetry from the camera feed, fusing them into a single reconstruction pipeline. This is called sensor fusion, and it's become the standard approach for the better apps. The LiDAR gives you the gross geometry and absolute scale. The photogrammetry fills in fine detail that the relatively low-resolution LiDAR sensor misses. A textured 3D mesh at real-world scale. You can walk through a multi-room apartment, scan continuously, and get a model where you can measure between any two points and get an answer within about 1 to 2% of the true distance. That's close enough for furniture planning, for renovation estimates, for figuring out if the refrigerator will fit through the kitchen doorway.
1 to 2% is the difference between your couch fitting and your couch being a very expensive lesson in geometry.
It can be. But for most practical purposes, it's adequate. The real limitation with Sconiverse and similar apps is processing time. LiDAR scans produce dense point clouds that need to be meshed and textured. And while Niantic has moved a lot of that process into the cloud, a large multi-room scan can take several minutes to process. It's not instant.
The prompt mentions a business premises as a possible use case. If someone's scanning a small office or a retail space, we're talking potentially hundreds of square meters. Does the accuracy hold up at that scale?
It degrades, but gracefully. The LiDAR sensor on an iPhone has a range of about 5 meters, so beyond that, it's relying on accumulated data from multiple positions. The sensor fusion with photogrammetry helps. The visual features provide constraints that keep the LiDAR data aligned. But you will see drift over long scans. The typical workaround is to scan in loops, returning to a previously scanned area periodically so the software can recognize the overlap and correct accumulated error. This is called loop closure, and both Scaniverse and Polycam implement it.
The GPS of indoor scanning.
That's exactly the right analogy. In the same way that GPS drift accumulates and then snaps back when you get a good satellite lock, visual loop closure lets the scanning app recognize, oh, I've been here before, let me adjust everything to make this consistent.
For the specific use case, someone moving into a new space, shooting a video walkthrough, wanting a dimensionally accurate 3D model, what's the actual recommendation?
If you have a LiDAR-equipped device, the answer is surprisingly straightforward. Use Polycam's LiDAR mode or Scaniverse. Walk through the space slowly. Keep the sensor pointed at what you want to capture. Make sure you loop back through areas you've already covered. The model will come out at real-world scale, and you can verify a couple of key dimensions with a tape measure just to sanity check. The scale will be close enough for any practical purpose.
If you don't have LiDAR,
then you're in a more complicated situation. CareEye Engine, with its reference distance feature, is probably the closest to what the prompt describes. Shoot a video, measure one or two things in the real world, enter those distances, and get a scaled model. But the surface texture problem is real. A typical apartment with white walls and minimal furniture is going to produce a patchy reconstruction.
There's also the question of what constructed 3D model means. The prompt seems to want something navigable and measurable, not just a pretty visual.
Right, and that's an important distinction. Most of these apps produce a mesh with a texture map. It looks like the real space, but it's essentially a digital sculpture. You can measure distances on it, but it's not a CAD model. If what you want is a floor plan with wall dimensions, that's a different output than a textured 3D mesh.
Which apps bridge that gap?
RoomPlan does it natively. It outputs a parametric model where walls are walls, not just textured triangles. Canvas is another app worth mentioning here. It's specifically designed for generating CAD models from LiDAR scans, aimed at contractors and architects. It's not free, but it produces dimensioned floor plans from a walkthrough scan. MagicPlan has been doing something similar for years using just the camera and some clever perspective tricks, though the accuracy without LiDAR is more in the plus or minus 5% range.
The landscape is really about trade-offs. LiDAR gives you scale for free but requires specific hardware. Photogrammetry works on any phone but requires texture and reference measurements. And the output format, mesh versus floor plan versus CAD model, depends on what you actually need to do with the result.
There's a deeper trade-off that doesn't get discussed enough, which is the relationship between capture time and model quality. A thorough LiDAR scan of a two-bedroom apartment might take 15 to 20 minutes of careful walking. A video for photogrammetry might take 3 minutes. The difference in quality is substantial, but so is the difference in effort. Most people, when they actually try this, discover that they don't want to spend 20 minutes waving their phone at every corner of their new living room.
The ergonomics of digital twinning are underrated as a barrier to adoption.
They absolutely are. And this is where the prompt's instinct about using a video walkthrough is smart. Everyone's already doing a video walkthrough when they inspect a new place. The question is whether that casual walkthrough video, shot without any special technique, is good enough input for a reconstruction pipeline.
The answer is...
It depends on how the video was shot. If you walk through slowly, keep the camera pointed at the space rather than at your feet and avoid rapid pans, a regular phone video can work surprisingly well as photogrammetry input. But most people's walkthrough videos are too fast, too shaky, and too narrowly focused on whatever caught their eye. The video that's good for remembering what the kitchen looks like is not the same as the video that's good for reconstructing 3D geometry.
There's a whole genre of technique that nobody knows they need to learn.
It's learnable. The basic principles, move slowly, maximize overlap, keep the camera steady, make sure every surface appears in multiple frames from different angles, are not complicated. But they're not intuitive either. The natural way to film a room is to stand in the doorway and pan around. That's terrible for photogrammetry because there's no parallax.
No parallax, no depth.
You need lateral movement. You need to physically walk through the space so the camera position changes. That's what creates the baseline for triangulation.
The ideal capture technique is counterintuitive. It's not the way anyone naturally films a space.
Which is why the LiDAR apps have an inherent advantage for casual users. You can be sloppier with LiDAR because the sensor is providing ground truth depth regardless of your camera technique. The sensor fusion will paper over a lot of sins.
Let's talk about Polycam specifically, since it's probably the best-known consumer 3D scanning app. What's the actual pricing and platform situation?
Polycam is available on iOS, Android, and has a web app for viewing and sharing. The free tier gives you a limited number of scans per month and watermarked exports. The pro tier is about $80 a year and removes those limits, plus adds higher resolution exports and some processing options. The key limitation is that LiDAR mode is iOS only. Android phones don't have the LiDAR hardware, so Android users are limited to photogrammetry mode. Scaniverse is iOS only, free, and Niantic has been remarkably generous about keeping it free. They're using the scan data to build their Lightship visual positioning system, which is their play for an AR cloud, so the app is essentially a data collection front end for their larger ambitions. The scans you make are contributing to a global 3D map that Niantic is building.
The price is your apartment becoming part of Niantic's spatial database.
That's the transaction. Whether that bothers you is a personal question. The scans are anonymized and aggregated, but yes, the geometry of your living room is being used to train Niantic systems. CareIRI Engine is available on both platforms, free tier with limited exports, paid tiers for higher resolution and more features. The reference distance calibration feature is available on the free tier, which is notable. It's developed by a team that came out of the Chinese tech ecosystem, and they've been iterating faster than most of the Western competitors.
Given the current geopolitical situation with Chinese AI networks being blocked by OpenAI and the FBI joint lawsuit against Chinese scam networks, is there any concern about using a Chinese-developed scanning app?
It's a reasonable question. KIRI Engine processes scans on-device for the basic reconstruction, which mitigates some of the data exfiltration concerns. But their cloud processing for higher quality models does send data to their servers, and their privacy policy is, let's say it's less detailed than what you'd get from a European or American company. Whether that's a practical concern or a theoretical one depends on your threat model. For someone scanning a rental apartment, the risk is probably minimal. For someone scanning a sensitive commercial facility, I'd steer clear.
Threat model is one of those concepts that sounds paranoid until it isn't.
The prompt mentions a business premises as a possible use case. If you're scanning an office that contains proprietary information visible on whiteboards or documents on desks, the photogrammetry data is effectively a high-resolution photographic record of everything in the space. That's worth thinking about before you upload it to anyone's cloud.
On-device processing is a meaningful differentiator here.
Apple's Room Plan does all processing on-device, which is consistent with their broader privacy positioning. Scaniverse does initial processing on-device but uploads for the higher quality reconstruction. Polycam offers on-device processing for LiDAR scans, but uses cloud processing for photogrammetry. The landscape is fragmented.
Let's circle back to the calibration question, because I think it's the most technically interesting part of this. The prompt asks about using a couple of validated reference dimensions for calibration. How does that actually work mathematically?
At its simplest, it's a scaling transform. The software calculates a scale factor by dividing the known real-world distance by the distance in the model's arbitrary units, then multiplies every coordinate by that factor. But the couple part is where it gets interesting. If you have two reference dimensions that are not parallel, say the width of a room and the diagonal of the same room, you can detect non-uniform scaling. If the model is distorted, a single scale factor won't make both reference distances match reality simultaneously.
Two measurements give you a consistency check that one doesn't.
And three or more properly distributed reference measurements let you do what's called a similarity transform with anisotropic scaling, essentially stretching or squeezing the model in different directions to match the known constraints. This is standard in surveying and photogrammetry, but hasn't made its way into consumer apps in a user-friendly form.
It doesn't sound computationally expensive.
It's not. I think it's a user experience problem. Asking someone to measure one thing is a reasonable request. Asking them to measure five things and enter the distances and indicate which points in the model correspond to which real-world measurements. That's a workflow that requires a certain amount of spatial reasoning that most apps aren't willing to demand from users.
The prompt's author seems willing.
The prompt's author seems willing, and I suspect there's a small but real market of people who would happily provide multiple reference measurements in exchange for genuine dimensional accuracy. But the apps have been designed for the lowest friction experience, which means one measurement maximum, or, in the LiDAR case, zero.
The tyranny of the frictionless onboarding.
It's the same dynamic that shaped so much of consumer software. The power user who wants control and is willing to do a little extra work gets underserved because the product is optimized for the person who will bounce if they see a dialog box with more than two fields.
If someone in the prompt's position wants to actually do this, video walkthrough, couple of measurements, accurate 3D model, what's the practical workflow today?
The most practical workflow I can assemble from current tools looks like this. If you have an iPhone with LiDAR, use Scanniverse or Polycam's LiDAR mode. Do a careful scan, loop back through rooms for loop closure. Export the model and measure a couple of key dimensions within the app to verify accuracy. If the LiDAR scale is off, which can happen if the sensor was initialized incorrectly, you'll need to scale the model in external software, which is a pain point. Without LiDAR, use KIRI Engine. Shoot a slow, steady video walkthrough with lots of lateral movement and frame overlap. Before you start, measure two reference distances, say the width of the front door and the length of the longest wall you can access. After processing, use KIRI's reference distance feature to set the scale from one measurement, then check the other measurement to verify the model isn't distorted. If the second measurement is off by more than a couple of percent, the model has warping, and you'll need to decide whether it's good enough or whether you want to reshoot with better technique.
If neither of those workflows is good enough,
then you're in the territory of semi-professional tools. A used Matterport Pro 2 camera runs about $2,000 to $3,000 on the secondary market, and it produces survey-grade models with accuracy in the millimeter range. But that's a very different proposition than I have a phone and a tape measure.
The Matterport ecosystem is interesting here because they've been doing this longer than almost anyone. What's their consumer play?
Matterport has a phone app that works with LiDAR-equipped iPhones, and they've been pushing it as a lower-cost entry point to their platform. But their business model is built on subscription fees for hosting and processing, and the phone scans are noticeably lower quality than what their dedicated hardware produces. It's a capable option, but it's priced for real estate professionals, not for someone who wants to scan one apartment.
It's overkill for the use case.
For a single apartment, yes. Where Matterport makes sense is if you're a property manager scanning dozens of units, or if you need the model to be hosted and shareable with a web-based walkthrough viewer. Their value proposition is the platform, not just the capture.
Let's talk about what's coming. Where is this technology heading in the next year or two?
A few vectors. 1. The LiDAR sensor is almost certainly coming to non-pro iPhones, probably with the iPhone 18 or 19, which would make LiDAR scanning available to a much larger user base. 2. Neural radiance fields and Gaussian splatting are producing reconstruction quality that's dramatically better than traditional photogrammetry, and those techniques are starting to trickle into consumer apps. Luma AI has been pioneering this with their NeRF-based capture, though they've pivoted more toward generative 3D recently.
Gaussian splatting. That's a technique that represents a scene as a cloud of fuzzy blobs rather than a mesh.
That's the one. And it's remarkable for capturing things that photogrammetry struggles with. Reflections, transparency, fine detail. The challenge is that Gaussian splats are not natively measurable in the way a mesh is. You can look at them, they're beautiful, but extracting a dimension floor plan from a Gaussian splat is a research problem.
The pretty output and the measurable output are diverging.
They're on different development tracks. The beautiful visual track is advancing faster than the accurate measurement track, which is a bit frustrating for the use case we're discussing. The prompt wants dimensional accuracy, not a gorgeous rendering.
Though ideally both.
And I think we'll get there. Apple's room plan is a step in that direction. It combines the visual understanding of what a room is with the geometric accuracy of the LiDAR sensor. As the machine learning models get better at understanding spaces semantically, the apps will get better at producing models that are both accurate and meaningful.
Semantic understanding meaning the app knows a wall is a wall, not just a vertical plane.
And that's the difference between a point cloud and a digital twin. A point cloud is just geometry. A digital twin knows what the geometry represents. It knows where the walls are, where the doors are, what's load-bearing and what's not. That semantic layer is what makes the model useful for planning and decision-making, not just for looking at.
We're in the awkward adolescence of that transition.
We're exactly in the awkward adolescence. The tools are good enough to be useful, but not good enough to be seamless. The workflows require more knowledge and effort than most people want to invest. And the marketing often overpromises what the apps can actually deliver.
The marketing overpromising. That's practically a law of nature in tech.
And 3D scanning apps are particularly prone to it because the demo videos are always shot in ideal conditions. Textured spaces, perfect lighting, slow deliberate camera movement, and the results look magical. Then someone tries it in their beige walled apartment with a single overhead light and gets a melted candle where their bedroom should be.
The beige walled apartment is the nemesis of computer vision.
Beige walls, white ceilings, uniform flooring. These are the hardest possible surfaces for photogrammetry because they have almost no distinguishable features. The software has nothing to latch onto.
Ironically, the more aesthetically neutral the apartment, the harder it is to scan.
The most scannable apartment is one with exposed brick, hardwood floors with visible grain, textured wallpaper, and lots of furniture with complex shapes. The least scannable apartment is a minimalist white box. The technology has an aesthetic bias.
The technology prefers character.
And that's a nice way to think about it. The tools work best on spaces that have visual texture and complexity. The sterile modern interior is their kryptonite.
Which brings us back to LiDAR, because LiDAR doesn't care about texture.
LiDAR doesn't care about texture at all. It's bouncing infrared light off surfaces and measuring return time. A white wall and a brick wall look the same to LiDAR. They're both just planes at a certain distance. That's the fundamental advantage of active depth sensing over passive photogrammetry.
The real recommendation here is, if this matters to you, get a device with LiDAR.
For this specific use case, yes. The difference in reliability between LiDAR and photogrammetry for interior spaces is substantial enough that if you're planning to do this more than once, the hardware upgrade pays for itself in frustration avoided.
If you can't or won't upgrade your phone, KIRI engine with manual reference measurements is the best fallback.
With the caveat that you'll need to be more deliberate about your capture technique and more forgiving of imperfect results. It's the difference between a tool that mostly works and a tool that works if you work with it.
Which is a reasonable summary of where consumer 3D scanning is in mid-2026. Good enough to be useful, not good enough to be invisible.
That's actually an improvement over where we were 3 years ago, when it was mostly a novelty. The trajectory is good. The current state is adequate with asterisks.
Adequate with asterisks. I feel like that could be the subtitle of this entire podcast.
I'd put it on a t-shirt.
To wrap this into something actionable, the prompt asks about mapping a video walkthrough to a constructed 3D model with a couple of reference dimensions. The answer is yes, but with a hardware fork. LiDAR users get it essentially for free. Non-LiDAR users can get close with KIRI engine and careful technique. And everyone should measure at least two things with a tape measure regardless, because trust but verify.
If the accuracy requirement is high, if you're planning a renovation or ordering custom furniture, none of the consumer tools are a substitute for professional measurement. They're good for planning and rough estimation, but the 1-2% error on a LiDAR scan means a 4-meter wall could be off by 4 to 8 centimeters. That's enough to matter if you're ordering fitted cabinetry.
The difference between it'll probably fit and I have made an expensive mistake.
Know your tolerance for error before you commit to a tool.
And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the early Renaissance, a Florentine tiler experimenting with hexagonal floor patterns near Lake Baikal accidentally invented the Penrose tiling 400 years early, but the design was so unsettling to local monks, who believed non-repeating patterns violated divine order, that they chiseled it out of the chapel floor within a week, and the discovery was lost until Soviet geologists found the chiseled remnants in 1957.
I have so many questions about the geography of that sentence.
Lake Baikal is about 6,000 kilometers from Florence, so either that tiler had an incredible commute, or Hilbert's fun fact has achieved a kind of transcendent geographical confusion.
For anyone who wants to dig deeper into the geometry of how AI sees space, there's an episode on depth and photogrammetry that goes into the technical underpinnings in more detail. But the tools we discussed today, Polycam, Scaniverse, KIRI Engine, Roomplan, are where the consumer accessible action is right now. The gap between what these apps promise and what they deliver is narrowing, but it's not closed yet. Measure twice, scan once.
If you try this in your own space and get results that are either surprisingly good or hilariously bad, we'd love to hear about it. You can find us at myweirdprompts.com or on Spotify. This has been My Weird Prompts. I'm Herman Poppleberry.
I'm Korn. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtob. We'll be back next week.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.